Please stand if you're able to for the reading of God's holy word. Our scripture reading is John 15, verse 12 through 17. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1677. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Here ends the scripture reading. We thank God for his holy word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Dawn, for reading for us this morning. Thank you, choir, for the anthem. And we will be doing more singing. As soon as the kids are up here, we have more singing to come. So warm up your whatever those things are, vocal cords, and we will be singing more in just a few minutes. I just have a few brief statements to make this morning before we invite the children up here, because they are waiting downstairs, being held at bay by several adults. We know the children will be okay, but we're not sure about the adults. And so we are just going to make a few statements this morning. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to John 3. I've said this before. I believe in this context. I will say it again. One of the dangers of Scripture is that it can become familiar. One of the dangers of Scripture is it can become familiar, where it becomes something that we do in a rote manner, something that we do in a manner where we really aren't thinking through what we're saying. And the little Scripture verse that we're going to look at today is one of those Scriptures, John 3:16. We see it at football games, well, at least we used to at football games, behind the goalposts, somebody holding up a John 3:16 sign. And the reason why they hold up just John 3:16 instead of Romans 8:22 is because John 3:16 is so familiar, Romans 8:22 not so much. And so you see John 3:16, and many of us, that's the first Bible verse maybe that we memorized. It was for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, right? Many of us can recite that, and there's a danger to that. There's a danger to that in that we don't slow down and we consider what John is saying there. We don't consider what John is saying there. And so for the next couple minutes, we're just going to look at that verse. The reason why we're going to look at that verse is because this verse hopefully is going to tie intimately into what the children are about to perform or put on display before us. That the nativity, the coming of Jesus, the incarnation, the coming of the divine Son to become human on our behalf, is summed up in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's what you're about to see. With these little feet and these little heads and these little smiles and these little angels and sheep and donkeys and goats and everything else, that's in Joseph and Mary and everything else, what they're putting on display is John 3:16. John 3:16. John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If you like to circle things in your Bible, I would encourage you to circle the word so. Such a little word, right? So. For God so loved the world. Can you imagine what it means for the God of the universe to so love something? What does that even look like? For the God of the universe to so love something. This idea of so loving could mean one of two things. It could mean a deep, affectionate, desirous, jealous kind of love. We experience this when we look at something and we say, oh, we so love that, or we so want that, or we so desire that. It's speaking of a deep desire. This could also be speaking of the manner in which God loved. He so loved the world that he did something about it. There's debate among scholars which one of these translations or which one of these understandings is best. But have you ever taken a multiple choice test? That's a silly question. We've all taken multiple choice tests, right? And you have A, you know, here's the answer. B, here's the answer. C, here's the answer. And then there's that squirrely little one, D, which usually says what? All of the above. Man, that's a trap answer most of the time. That one is just there to trip you up. Pick C if you don't know. C, all of the above. I would humbly recommend that this is speaking of option D, all of the above. That God so loved the world, that he loved the world with such passion and vigor and jealousy and love that overflows, that he was to show it in a particular manner. He so loved the world that he wanted to show it in a particular manner. And how is it that he showed his love? He showed his love, it says in John 3:16, by giving. By giving. Not by taking, but by being outward and giving and offering. And what did he offer? For those of us who are parents, we would understand this, that the greatest thing that you can offer is not yourself. The greatest thing you can offer is a child. The last thing that one would ever want to lose is a child. The last thing that anyone would ever want to sacrifice for another person is a child. And yet, what does the Heavenly Father give? Because his love is so deep and so visceral and so great for us, what does he give? He gives a son. His only son. The only one he has. His heart. His very heart. When the Father gave his son for us, the very heart of heaven came down and became human. But why? What is the situation that is so serious, that is so grave, that is so necessary, that the Father, who's always been a Father, would respond to that situation by giving his Son? What is the situation that is so grave? It's this. He gave his Son that whoever believes in him should not perish. This world and people within the world were perishing. Separated from God, rejecting the Lord, not walking with him, not desiring him, separated from him, death came into the world through sin. And the answer of the Father to sin and death coming into the world was to say, I'm going to give them my Son to become human on their behalf, to live on their behalf, to be human in their place, to rectify this situation, to redeem them, to bring them back. And the Father gave his Son that we might become daughters and sons. He saves as a father, willingly offering his son to you. You say, Jess, why does that matter? The reason why that matters is this. No matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, no matter what the struggle is in your life, when you come to know your Heavenly Father in that way, when you come to know your Savior Jesus in that way as the one who was given for you, you grab tightly to Him and you know the hope and the joy and the peace of what it means for your Heavenly Father to love you through giving His Son. And you can have hope and joy and peace because He loved you. There should be a loved one here somewhere. Oh, there it is right there. It was right up front. Because He loved you. You can have hope, joy, and peace no matter what your situation. How can you have that? Because you know the love of the Father through His Son, Jesus. It's supernatural. Now, are you ready to see that through our little people? The answer is yes. Yes, you are. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for You. We are so thankful for Your Word. We are so thankful for Your Son, Jesus. We are so thankful that He came down to save us, to give His life for us, that we might know what it means for You to love us, that You loved us so much that You gave Your Son. Help us to see that even more clearly now. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.